Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Coach, we are absolutely 1 month away from the start of high school football.
1 month away.
1 month away, man. If everything stays on course.
Now,
right?
Now, when you say 1 month away, are we to the space of full capacity of fans?
Right now, because of, you know, back when they lifted all the restrictions, when the bars would be able to go there, there's no capacity limits anywhere.
That's right.
So as it stands now, the stadium can be packed full.
Yeah, I know Michigan State released their tickets yesterday. I bought a 3-ticket package, so.
Okay, you had no problem getting it.
Yeah, that's right. I think Western Kentucky homecoming, then first game of the season, and then Nebraska, I think I got.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty good seats, about two of them. But high school, now I know the Big Reds, they got Cass Tech first?
No, we go to East Kentwood. That is the 27th of August.
Okay.
And then we come home
to the Cass Tech. Ooh, to the technicians.
To the technicians.
You know they got that receiving core. They want to know what's up.
Yeah, you know they tried to back out of this game, man. Because you know they lost their coach, right? The coach went to Michigan State.
Yeah, he went to Michigan State.
One of the coaches died from COVID. Mm-hmm. So there was a little bit of a turmoil in the program. And as it stands now, they won't play our JV or freshman.
So that's the reason.
Of course, we were supposed to go there, right? And they said, no, we don't want to play. So we basically have to beg them for the varsity game because they were just going to back totally out of that game.
But then they should have it. See, when you talk about a parochial high school like that with the best talent in Detroit between Martin Luther King and Cass and Renaissance, they're getting the best kids from the city. And their youth leagues are connected to their high schools.
Okay.
So the Powell League, the Police Athletic League, I remember the Northwest Activity Center League when I worked in Detroit. Then they got year-round track. So they got the athletes and the kids, and they got the coaches connected. It's all about what system. But it's just adopt the same system. He going to Michigan State. That means that the system worked.
Yeah, so I don't know who's the new head coach. I haven't seen any of that. But like you said, though, the fact remains that there should have been a system in place. And if he's been a part of that system, it should be an easy transition.
I'm going to tell you this, though. This is what they worry about. I used to live in Detroit, Tony. They worry about Ski Town wrecking them. They're like, a Ski Town wrecker. And then we got a new offensive coordinator with ours. Yeah. So, hey, come on.
Yeah, we got a lot of changes going on. Because when you move the offensive coordinator to, well, the defensive guy was on the defensive side, now he's on the offensive side, so you got to backfill that job. Okay, and then there's a learning curve there. So we got just as many changes, you know, just wasn't a head coach.
That's it.
So still got to play.
Then got new personnel, new quarterback.
Yeah.
So we got a new system going in right now. We trying to throw the ball more, so we're in the same boat.
Yeah, we're in the same boat.
So
we're going to play the game.
Oh, I can't wait.
We just got to find the game for our JV and freshman.
Yeah.
So for that Thursday.
That's kind of hard. And nobody want to play Muskegon.
Yeah, straight out the box.
Yeah, they don't want to play.
Straight out the box.
So. I'm trying to hurt my kids' feelings. So look, speaking of hurt people's feelings, we got the USA Olympic team. Oh. You know, they done won their first game against Iran.
Lost the first one against France.
Yeah. And I think I seen an Instagram tweet or something with Damian Lillard looking at the guy that played, that hit 28. Because he plays in the NBA for Orlando or somebody, I think.
Okay.
And he was like, and Rudy Gobert on that team too, you know, rim protected. So he looking at the guy at the free throw line like, you don't even be doing that in the NBA.
Right.
But see, what Damian Lillard don't realize is when you talk about playing for your country, that's their NBA.
Yeah.
That's the highest honor you can have for a country. They got the king and the queen, and they getting these scavengers dinners, and they family getting helped out with jobs because they played for their country.
Yeah.
America different. You a billionaire already. He a millionaire with you in the NBA, but all his teammates are not.
Right.
So they know they got a ranking order on their team. Like, look, we've been playing on this team our whole life. You the one in the NBA and you in the NBA. Y'all the best two players, and I get all the rebounds. I play the point guard. I come off the bench and hustle. See, NBA, they got to figure out, like, oh, I was a man on my team. So everybody figured out who got to be the man, and that's having them struggle out the gate.
Yeah, well, this is a product. This Olympic competition that we have today is a byproduct of the NBA. The NBA, I mean, 20 years ago, there were no international players in the NBA.
No. Nope.
Right? Now, when you look across the landscape of the NBA, you got them from all over the world, right? They're plucking. They're taking the best of the best from every country, from Africa to Greece to Germany, wherever. And it has perpetuated the playing of basketball in these other countries to a whole nother level.
Because then they got the money to say, hey, I play for Milwaukee Bucks. I'm from Nigeria. I'm from Greece. Hey, the training we do in the NBA, will you come over and train my Olympic team? I'll fly you down. How much it cost? $300,000? Oh, I got that.
Yeah.
Our country pay that. So then now they training. We got trainers from here that's in Africa.
Getting paid.
That's getting paid. Training an American game. Yeah. But then to support what you said, 20 years ago, here go to 20 years ago, David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, Shaquille O'Neal. They were the real big men. They were American people.
Yes.
Now the real big men are from abroad. Joel Embiid, Giannis, Robert. So all those rim protectors and everybody, they are not American players.
Nope.
Our American big men, they have not been drafted because they don't shoot the three. They don't handle the ball. So it's like the athleticism is gone in our big men, and we don't develop big men no more. The way the post and the
we don't play with our backs to the basket no more like we used to do. You know, get it down low, Kareem, with back his man down, throw the sky hook up.
Hakeem Olajuwon, even though he's not from America, but he played in 96.
He was probably one of the first ones, right?
That transitioned to America.
Came over and played in college, then to the NBA.
Yep.
And that's different than a Luka Doncic who just came straight out and never went to college in the United States.
You're right.
A lot of these players skip that step.
Yes.
You know,
straight out of high school, basically.
Yeah, the first guy that I can think of that was international, that I thought was a star, probably was the Dudley Shrimp for Dallas, I think he was.
Yep, Dallas, and then he was at Seattle. I liked him, Dudley Shrimp. Then you had Serenas Marcellonis that played with Golden State Warriors. Was good, and Dale Negro.
Yep.
Man, those guys were some shooters. But the best of all of international to me was Drazen Petrović.
Okay.
The musty Yugoslavian. He said and Steve Smith said he never took showers.
He didn't like to shower. We don't like showers.
He said you could if you was guarding him that night, he was a guaranteed 20 points.
You gonna back up?
And his jumper was so good, he talked so crazy in his other language.
Yeah.
And he was a good competitor. Michael Jordan even said he was a bucket.
Yeah, so that run that the Dream Team made that year. We'll never see that again in Olympic basketball.
Yeah, and they played against Drazen and Kukoc, and they treated them like beat the mess out of their teams.
Yeah.
But they played well, but their team wasn't pro level like them.
No. Yep. At that time, we had the best of the best out of the pros.
Yes, we did.
The season's got so long. You know, guys like LeBron, you know, he's already played. He's going to take a step back. Curry's. A lot of the NBA stars have taken a step back because it's become a business. Load management now, right?
Yes, sir.
And I can't play Olympics and then jump right into the NBA season. It's a grind.
Like Paul George, he's scared to touch the Olympic floor. He's like, I done broke my leg. I had to ruin my whole career. I had to rebuild my whole life. I'm not stepping out there if y'all need me.
Things are different now.
Yes.
Olympic landscape.
Then speaking of Olympics, we got the girl Simon Biles. She took a leave absence. She's like, this mental health stuff for real.
Yeah. She checked out, man.
Yeah. I've been winning all my life, and I can already see, like, you know, just the hidden racism, microaggression stuff,
and the support system's not there.
See, no, it's not.
Because these kids, you know, her parents traveled with her, right? They're not allowed to come, so her support system is not there to help her through this. And that was probably one of the reasons why she just wasn't concentrating.
Yeah.
So this has definitely been a different Olympics for that reason alone.
Yeah, but I would say this: people don't understand the mental health that professional people go through.
Yeah.
Especially minorities.
Yep.
And then if you're at that level where your name is a brand and you like to go to your sport, your life is under a microscope.
Yeah.
And if you don't got the money to live under a microscope and you got this status because you got these gold medals but your finances don't fit it, that's a lot of that's a trauma.
They even interviewed Michael Phelps last night. 25 gold medals, right? 25. And he talked about the pressure and the mental toll that it takes on athletes. And, you know, he had his issues, right?
Yes, sir.
And I think it's just something now that's going to come out and be talked about and hopefully get these athletes the support that they need to continue, you know, their careers as Olympians.
Yes. I mean, but, you know, like you said, speaking of mental attacks and things like that, January 6th of last year, Yeah, they had the all the officers. Yes, all the police officers that worked at the Capitol building of our nation. They did a testify. They testified the last couple of days, and they put the minorities on the stand.
Yeah, they did.
They put them brothers and sisters on the stand. They said, "Hey, it was nothing like it. Mm-hmm. Never seen nothing like it."
Guys have been in that position for 20-25 years that actually given tours to tourists, right?
They went
to the Capitol and have been there for the Million Man March, all the other various marches and protests that have taken place in the Capitol.
No, so I'm gonna give one quote, and like you said, it's like, hey, I'm spending my whole time trying to cause a diversion for the Republicans, for when I get them that diversion, a week later they throw me up under the bus.
Yeah, Blue Lives Matter. That was one of the things that they talked about, because that was one of the things that the Trump campaign, you know, was a poster for.
Yeah, but then when the insurrection happened, what happened?
They attacked the police.
Yeah.
Right? And the name calling that took place.
The N-word and all that stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, the guys on the witnesses said that, you know, for politicians to downplay this incident, this insurrection, is a slap in their face. They were protecting those individuals that was in the Capitol that day.
Yes.
And for them to take that stance, it just really gave them a nasty taste in their mouth.
And it just made me think, like, wow, that's unfortunate. But then getting closer to home, where you got Travis City, where they just passed a bill that say anti-racism in school districts. I'm like, okay, y'all got to say that? So I'm like, okay, what happened? So I think it was Instagram or Twitter where students of that school district were actually doing mock slave trading of other minority students within their school district. So they would probably take somebody's profile and bid on another student.
Wow.
Tony Williams going for 300, 500. Yeah. Chauncey Williams going for 200. Oh, I got 500, my slave. So they had mock slave auctions to students on their Instagram and Twitter accounts, private accounts, where they in these group chats. And they selling their classmates.
That's horrible.
So, like you said, insurrection, oh, that's terrible. But well, we in Michigan and we got kids.
That's a cyber insurrection.
That's
right?
Cyberbullying too. Yeah. Yes.
Cyberbullying too.
And I mentioned this word, microaggression. So it's like, you think about it and you're like, man, like, how can somebody treat somebody like that? But then you look at the insurrection. How can somebody treat a police officer? Like, how can somebody treat people like that? And then you're like, hold up. This is a global thing.
Yeah.
This race thing. This is serious.
Yeah, that even came out in some of the Olympians spoke about racism in their countries. Britain was one of them.
Yes, sir.
One of the athletes talked about how the British are just as racist as anybody in this world. So, I mean, you look at the young lady that married, what's her name, the Queen's?
Oh, yeah, Prince.
Yeah, you know, she talked about the same thing.
Yes, she did.
About they were concerned about how these babies was going to look.
That's it. Nothing else. Yeah, they were asking questions about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they had to move them on out of the way. Like, hey, you take this money, you can have this, you're gonna have this check, but we're not gonna have you in this space. You're gonna go on live in Toronto with the other nationality.
Yeah, California, anywhere. But here.
And you got your money. You can have your little money, but you ain't gonna be in the King's Court no more.
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy. Yeah. And finishing up on global news, I heard Lebanon like our American dollar, Lebanon's, whatever they use for income, has collapsed. The whole economy has collapsed.
In Lebanon, really?
Yeah, the Lebanese, I'm like.
So their currency basically is worthless.
Basically. So now they were talking about their salaries disappearing. They can't afford magnesium, for issues of the head. Like 50 cent. It's like, it's a total of 50 cent. I don't even got 50 cent for my medication. And I'm like, economy just disappeared. Like the currency that they have just can disappear.
Yeah,
I've heard of that in places like Africa.
Yeah,
where it's like one day it's worth this much, and you go over here, it's nothing.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden somebody else take over a country through war or some type of apartheid or something, and then that currency disappears. But I'm like, they were mentioning this word, inflation, on how we're affected in America. A lot of people say, oh, it's hard on me.
Yeah,
but then somebody tomorrow, they don't have 50 cent, and they don't have nowhere to stay because inflation's so hard. And their currency, your currency disappeared. We talking about the American. So in our world, it said American dollar. Oh, you go to the store, you got 1,000 American dollars. And say, hey, this no good no more. Yeah, like, what?
Yeah. I mean, just average wages grew in June 3.6. But, however, inflation essentially gave the average worker about a 2% pay cut, according to the labor statistics, only because we're paying more. I mean, I just even shopping at the farmer's market, right? I went down there last week. I normally go down there and shop for my corn, my vegetables. And it was like, I can remember going down and getting a bag of corn for like, you know, maybe $1, $2, 12 ears of corn. And they were selling it for 4 ears of corn for $2.
Wow.
That's like 50 cents an ear of corn. Blueberries, cherries was like $8 a quart.
And that's $4, supposed to be $4. So know, I wanted to buy some, I like buying sliced watermelon for the alkaline, yeah, right? So I'm like, I always buy it. So like the containers I buy be like $2. Right? I'm like, oh, that's $2. So I go on Sunday, $4.50.
Mm-hmm. Same container.
Yeah, I see. Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, just look at even the whole watermelon. I remember, you know, there was an average around $4, right?
And we're talking about this like a week ago. Yeah. Like from one Sunday to the next.
$97 for a watermelon, man. And then it's a crapshoot. You don't know if it's good or not.
Yeah, yeah, you know. I mean, eating that watermelon is expensive.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, they used to drive up from the south in trucks of them. Yes. Yeah, they sell the watermelons on the back of their truck, man. For like $2.
Yep.
Big old watermelon. Big watermelon. Good too. Yep. Great, yeah. Watermelon. Not
it's,
anymore.
It's rough, brother. I don't know what to say. But then it's trickling down to this factor where a crash in the housing market seemed inevitable during the early weeks of the COVID season, right?
Right.
But what's going on right now? You say, but much of the government aid and support is about to go away. The foreclosure moratorium, which prevents foreclosures of federally backed mortgages, will come to an end on Saturday,
July 31st.
So what does that mean for our economy? What does that mean for the American dollar? So it's basically saying that their payments will lapse. Since the beginning of the pandemic, over 7 million homeowners have been enrolled in the forbearance program. However, as the economy has improved, the number has fallen. As of July 11th, there's still almost 2 million people, or 4% of U.S. mortgages enrolled in the forbearance program. So now they're getting ready to come out of that too. So when you think about that, you're talking about 2 million people, 2 million homes.
How many
homes in our region? Because I'm starting to see people sleeping out at the beach.
Oh, wow.
On the sand. Tomorrow, when I go for my exercise in the morning, I'm seeing people not being romantic, living on the beach, in parked cars. So okay. I'm like, let's get to that point.
Uh-huh. Can't afford the housing.
Yeah, it can't afford it. So I'm like, I've been paying attention. I'm like, hold on. I've been coming out here for a year. I ain't seen nobody sleeping on the beach.
Okay.
I ain't seen nobody sleeping in their car. Now I'm starting to see them, because when it comes to anything, like we talked about Lebanon earlier, everybody don't get that help.
No.
Certain areas get looked over when that pot of money comes. And that's the social equity we talking about when it comes to a mortgage. So, oh yeah, we enrolled you. We'll get to you, skip over you. Now they come in and take your property away from you. Mm-hmm. Or they come in and put you out on the curve. But somebody told you that you was in the system, but it ain't your time yet. And then they look over you. Because that's been an issue too.
Yeah.
A financial issue too, where it's some providers, it's like, I ain't going to help them. Look at that zip code. Mm-hmm. Let them lose that property. We're going to buy that property when they lose
pennies
it.
Pennies on the dollar.
Yep. And we're going to get that promissory note, and we're going to buy the block back and take it from them people. Mm-hmm. So that's what's going on. That's what's about to happen to those 2 million properties. So just think about it. So if you're not getting help, you need to start making sure you're getting that plan in, because we're talking about, think about the last mortgage crisis.
2008.
Yeah, so that was the ARM mortgages. And then some people got help, some people didn't.
Yeah, banks got bailed out. Mortgage companies got bailed out. There's a lot of money out there for those situations right now. On NPR, they was talking about the money that they gave the airlines.
Yes, sir.
In order to maintain their levels of employment, so when the economy comes back, we won't have the situation that we have today, where there's not enough pilots to fly the planes, there's not enough support workers in the airline industry to support the airline industry. So therefore, you know, flights are being delayed, canceled, and the cost of tickets are ridiculous.
Yes, it is. So then, like, you know, think about the mortgages. Some people are like, look, I might as well just sell my house. So if you're selling your house and property's up 30% and you don't have no buyer, what happens? Short sale market, right?
Yeah.
You short sell a property that could be worth more, but the people ain't buying right now because they know the prices are jacked up. So you stuck in this house. So some people trying to sell right now to get out or refinance. But if your credit bad and all those things, I mean, it's going to be.
Money's still cheap, right? We know the interest rates have not made a big move yet. The Fed is keeping those interest rates low in order to fuel the economy so people will continue to purchase homes, goods, and services at a cheap rate. Money is cheap, and that's what they're doing now. You know, I can remember, you know, 20 years ago, 15% we thought was a good rate. Yeah. Now we're at 1 and 2%.
So this is what a White House representative said. Many homeowners are exiting mortgage forbearance and are returning to their pre-pandemic earnings. Mm-hmm. And are no longer facing financial hardship associated with the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. That was July 23rd. For homeowners who can resume their pre-monthly mortgage payment and where agencies have the authority, agencies will continue requiring mortgage services to offer options that allow borrowers to move missed payments to the end of the mortgage at no additional cost to the borrower.
Good.
So that's good. It's a good plan. Good. But who they gonna let do that?
Yeah.
It's
a case-by-case basis.
That's right.
It's not a blanket type of process. Case by case.
So, and that's unfortunate. So just looking forward and knowing the direction that the economy is going in and how people got to be treated in the spaces that they're moving, man, it's not a good situation because some people ain't had no job. They lost their job.
Yeah.
They lost a lively body because of COVID. Somebody possibly died and the income is half.
They
can't sell. They done tried to do the forbearance. They done tried to make sure they got the rent put off a little time. And then they got a little money, but now inflation is up, so the money don't cover all their bills. So they can't put everything, all the rent on it. Nope. So it's a rough situation. So, man, I just send prayers out to people and make sure that they're getting the right help. We got places like MoCap and calling your mortgage company to make sure they can do something and stand on them. Mm-hmm. Don't think that they're going to handle that for you. Make sure you get names, numbers.
And follow up.
Yeah.
Do not sit and wait. Call them every day. Be a nuisance. When you call, they're going to say, oh, yep, it's so-and-so again.
Yep.
But don't ever stop calling.
Talk to a higher management something because we don't want the people losing their homes and then start seeing people living out on the road. So, yeah, it's deeper than what we think. So what I have is I know last we talked about health benefits and why it's important because we're talking about with the insurance on how people are being put off because they're paraplegic or they had neurologic damage to their brain in these homes and now they transferring over. But then we got people that got health insurance that got to figure out how to save money. So I have some more pointers. So the number two was take advantage of preventive care services. Most health insurance plans must cover certain preventive services without charging you. Even if you haven't met your deductible, they include immunizations, depression and blood pressure screenings, cholesterol and diabetes screenings for those who have a specific age or who have certain risk factors, mammograms for women older than 40, vision screenings for children. So it's a wide list of them. You can go to healthcare.gov coverage preventive dash care dash benefits. Check it out. High deductible health care plans may cover certain treatments for chronic conditions such as insulin for diabetes and statins for heart disease before policyholders reach their deductible. Because a lot of times people don't know what they really cover because they give you that policy and it's so thick. Are you in network? Are you out of network?
Yep.
So it's always good to have somebody sit down with you and read the material you have and what you have. Because preventive care is important because we have these pre-existing issues. And a lot of times we have pre-existing issues, they won't cover you. So if you go and prevent some of these things from happening to you, then you'll be able to get the most out of your insurance.
And manage it, right? You got to be able to manage whatever illness you have. And that's one of the things that I think we're missing in our community, is the ability to help manage and early detection and diagnosis of these types of illnesses before they become a chronic illness.
You're exactly right. So that's our time for the day. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.